This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well, great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Final day of the month of February. Making a turn to March tomorrow. Joe DeCamera, Jen Ritchie, it's 94 WIP.
Today's show is sponsored by Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, the only app I use. Join me and you're in the zone. New users get up to $1,000 casino bonus back if you're not a winner in your first 24 hours. You must be 21 in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLE.
And I got to tell you, I'm disappointed here. I'm still looking. Seltzer, I'm still looking for a leap year, leap day baby to
call us.
Yeah,
we need a leap birthday.
I mean, come on. I mean, someone out there, as I mentioned earlier.
Are we allowed to have them on, though? You have to be 18 years old to call.
Got
to
be 80. Well,
yeah,
gotta
so you got to be like in
72.
Your, yeah.
You got to be 72 years old
tough sell right
as a leap baby in order to call and be 18 years old. Look, I am fascinated by the 84-year-old out there who today turns 21 and can actually legally drink. That's the guy I want to hear. I want to hear from an 84-year-old who can now finally walk into a bar and, you know, order a beer.
But anyway, what a thrill.
What a thrill. But no, really what I want is just one person to call me up who's born on February 29th and tell me, like, what is that like? And how big a party do you have when you actually have a February 29th? And when you don't have a February 29th, do you celebrate on the 28th or March 1st? These are the important things we're trying to figure out today. Let me tell you what we're also trying to figure out. Is Keith Jones the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln? I think he might be. Let's welcome back to the WIP studio. He's doing unbelievable work for the Philadelphia Flyers, Mr. Keith Jones. Jonesy!
Good to see you guys.
How are you, pal?
I'm doing
Jonesy!
Great.
You know,
Jonesy!
Look at this guy!
The greatest president to ever be.
Well, I go Lincoln, Washington, Jonesy.
I'm not great with American history.
I think I might go Lincoln.
I might not know those guys. You know, Simone Gagné is a leap year.
Is he?
Baby, yeah.
Well, get him to
1980,
call.
1980, February 29th.
So I had no idea.
Yeah.
1980, wow. So today he is, let's see, 34. That would be 80, no, 24. No, 44.
44. So your math is terrible.
So what, he's 11?
Yep, he turned 11.
Turned 11 today, Simone. He turned 11. That's great.
Can't believe it's almost March. No. That's unbelievable.
I know it is. You know what's more unbelievable? You guys might make the playoffs.
We're trying.
Might.
I mean, our guys play hard. It's been impressive.
It's been very
a fun group to be around, and it's good to see that you know, people are paying attention. It's all a credit to the way the players have performed.
Congrats. I mean, when I said might, I mean, obviously it could still go either way.
Of course,
it looks like you probably will. Congrats. I mean, it's got to be ridiculously gratifying, Jonesy.
Well, the one thing I will say, it's been a lot of fun to watch the way that our players have performed. You know, the results have been there, and obviously that makes it a lot better. I hate losing. It just makes you feel like crap. It's an awful feeling. And then when you walk in the room after games, to see the look on our players' faces after a loss is something that makes me feel really good. I mean, they hate to lose. They have a really strong bond with one another, and I think it's kind of permeated throughout the entire organization, and the players are the ones that are doing the performing.
So what's made the biggest difference with this whole turnaround?
The one thing I would say is – the character of the players has really come to the forefront. They play a tough-minded style of game. They pick each other up when someone needs to be picked up. They hold each other accountable. John Tortorella has talked a lot about having the room right, and there's no question that that is headed in the right direction. Some would say addition by subtraction, but it's more a credit to the players that are here. Buying into that and doing their part having a captain now like Sean Couturier certainly helps. And, you know, he was named captain, what, a couple of weeks ago and then found himself on the fourth line, you know, three games later. That's the way it works for us. Like, you have to perform at a high level. And the good news is the players are holding each other accountable and holding themselves accountable.
What's it like for you working with Briere and Tortorella?
I mean, it's been great.
The three of you guys are kind of the three.
Yeah.
What's that like?
And then Dan Hilferty at the top has been awesome as far as bringing us all together. Torts is... He's a very interesting guy to be around. He's a very smart hockey mind. He's very honest. And that's something that I think the players appreciate, and I think both Danny and I appreciate. Danny's a blast. He's just a really smart person. Great hockey mind, extremely dedicated to the job, making sure that he's putting in long hours to try to get this right, especially now leading up to the trade deadline where we have some important decisions to make. But it's fun. Like, we're really enjoying it. I enjoy his company. I think he enjoys mine. And, you know, doing it together, I think, is the right formula. I don't think it's a one-man job anymore. I think that, you know, teams that have general managers and presidents that are, you know, a combination-type title, I think it's too much. I think there's too much going on. So I like the way that we have it here, and we share a lot of responsibilities. And ultimately, Danny will make the player personnel decisions. And I'm going to be there to support him in any way that I can.
How often do you guys get competitive, like, around the office? I think it's amazing. And also, like, how much does it help that you guys played in the same NHL, you know, concurrently?
Yeah, it matters. Danny, you know, we kind of crossed over near the end of my playing career. And then Danny went on to do great things here in Philadelphia. I think the fact that we both played here in this city, that we both have lived in this city for an extended period of time, I do think that helps us in making sure that we're thinking in the back of our minds, at least, of the players that we acquire fit this city and obviously fit what we're doing. But at the same time, we want to make sure that the guys understand what it's like to play here in Philadelphia, what it takes to play here in Philadelphia, and what it takes to stay here in Philadelphia. And so far, I think we've done a pretty good job of selecting players that kind of fit that mold.
Jonesy, do you miss WIP?
I do. I it's kind of fun to come back in here, and then kind of sad in the same way, because I had such a good time doing what I did and still get so much great feedback from the fans. You know, there's so many people that will stop me. I'll tell you this. I was on a flight back from Florida last night, and I had a fan say, I love hearing you on the radio. And I had to say, well, I'm not on the radio anymore. You know, and I have other people tell me, I love the way you on your broadcasts, and they stop me all the time. And it's an awkward thing to stop and say, well, now I'm the president of the Flyers. You know what I mean? It's like, how are you going to say that? So I always just go with it. I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And they'll ask me if I'm doing a game. And I said, no, not today. And that's it. So
that's great.
I don't want to stop. Like, you can't stop someone saying, oh, I'm the president. That just sounds strange.
Yeah.
So,
Jonesy, I heard John Elway say something one time. So he obviously, you know, one of the all-time greats in football, steps away. He's off the stage for, I don't know, a good 15 years, maybe 20, comes back running the Broncos. And I heard him say there was a void for him not being able to compete. Yeah, you can compete in business. Guys like Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan do, but it's different. I'm curious, the juices of sports and competing the way you now are competing again, does that reinvigorate something within you?
It does. I mean, I swear more now than I ever have. Like, it's so, it's, you're so into what's happening, and you feel the pain and defeat. You certainly enjoy the wins, but you're always thinking about the next game. You're thinking about the next player. It never leaves you. It's a constant kind of in the forefront of your mind, trying to get things right and feeling the responsibility of trying to do the right things for your team to make sure that you stay competitive and enjoy the wins that much more frequently. It's a long season. It's an 82-game schedule in hockey. There's ups and downs, and when it's down, it sucks. So you want to try to avoid that as much as you can. But at the same time, there's great joy in feeling, you know, just how difficult a loss can be and how great a win can be.
One more, and then we'll get back to the phones. But I'm curious, and I know different executives and coaches would answer this question differently. I'm curious where you come down on this. Has the team exceeded your expectations so far?
I would say marginally. I'm not surprised where they're at. I'm not surprised how they compete for one another. I think I knew that part would be okay. I felt really confident about that going in, and Danny and I talked about it a lot before the season started. And we talked with players individually about saying, you know, we're saying one thing to everyone as far as our messaging, and that was that we were rebuilding. But we made sure to tell every player in the team that that's BS.
So, drop of the week right nice. There. Yep. We just heard it from a Philadelphia executive. What they say publicly may not be what they really think. Spike, I'll tell you what Spike Eskin says to that.
Bah.
Right there.
I'm going to hear Spike's voice again. He's back, isn't he?
He's coming back bah. Soon.
I'm Spike Eskin. Great.
I saw that.
He's coming back soon.
Good
all
for
right.
You guys.
It's, let me just do the Twitter poll yeah. question of the day here. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet.
Routine maintenance and major repairs. Armin Chevrolet's service team is there to help. Certified service. Visit ArminChevy.com.
Well, I will say this. The team has certainly exceeded my expectations, and not marginally. Which brings us to this Twitter poll question of the day. Will the Flyers make the playoffs this season? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Also, Jones is going to field questions here. And not just on the Flyers. We're going to be talking all the topics we're discussing. Jones is going to settle into sports talk show yeah. host. Keith
Give me
Jones.
One.
I got it. I had a chance to talk to Danny Briere, I don't know, maybe like 5 years ago.
7 years ago. It was right Seven when our show ago. Started.
Okay. Yep. And I was fascinated by just his ability to, you know, dream in other languages.
Yeah.
Hockey is, it is certainly a place where you are using more languages than what you used here.
Yes.
How does that work for you? Like, are you multilingual?
I am not. Danny is, which is great.
Definitely.
So he has some conversations on the phone that I have no idea what he's saying. He could be ripping me for all I know, but it is interesting. There's players coming from all over the world. And we're monitoring, you know, a lot of our prospects that are playing pretty much everywhere that they play hockey.
Yeah.
So, including Russia. So, we're watching a lot of games over in the KHL. We have three goaltenders that are under our watch there in the KHL that we drafted. So, we're keeping a close tab on what they're doing. Of course, we have Matvei Michkov, who's, you know, our future as far as developing a major talent that's going to, you know, attract a lot of eyes. So we're paying attention to, you know, players all across the world, traveling yeah. to Sweden, Finland, watching these guys and trying to make sure that we're doing everything we can to draft the next ones. We do have two first round picks in this year's draft and making sure that we're doing everything to keep the cupboards full as far as developing players that can help us in the future.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Again, Jonesy fielding calls, and, you know, we'll just settle into talk show host mode, and let's rock and roll. Let's get to Ken and Sinaminson. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Hey, it's great to have Keith back in the studio there. And before I get to my Phillies point, because I've been dying to have this conversation, just put this in perspective for you, Jonesy. I was at the last Flyers Stanley Cup parade, so that's kind of this is not which is a good thing and a bad thing, but this is not the old man get off my lawn speaking here. When you make the playoffs this year, can you please light that gritty costume on fire at center ice?
You're not the only one who asked that. There's no doubt, but he does so many great things for us. It's incredible, especially as far as the work in the community. I've been around him in the off season. The kids absolutely love him. There's no question that he's made a major imprint on helping us and all our charitable efforts. And he does a great job at the games, too. He doesn't appear as much as he used to. That's a little subtle change. But he's doing his
part. I noticed that.
He's doing his part to, you know, get the fans going in his section there. And he's somebody that we really appreciate
it. Is he upset to be downgraded to the fourth line?
He's happy. He's happy. Whatever it takes.
Check in line, baby. He's going to go out and hit somebody.
There you go. He's not on the power play anymore. All right, Ken, go ahead. Ken, what do you got on the Phils, buddy?
It's just the costume. It's not the person in the costume.
He's alive.
So this is a conversation I've been dying to have because there's so many different ways to look at it, right? I'll just go out there and say I think Bryson Stott should be the leadoff hitter, and I know James disagrees with me vehemently, and he'll point to the record. But as I've said to you guys on several occasions over the last couple of years since Rob Thompson's been the manager, I think he puts way too much emphasis on this whole right left thing. I don't mind righties back lefties backing up against each other if like Bryson Stott or Bryce Harper splits between righties and lefties are virtually identical. So Bryce Harper can hit lefties. So I don't mind if, you know, Kyle Schwarber is the cleanup hitter behind Bryce Harper, even though they're both left-handed. Because
it's about lefties late in innings, though, Ken.
It's not
about the lefty starters that Harper can hit. It's about these lefty specialists that are brought in to face two or three lefties in a row and can really cause damage.
Here's the other thing, though. Okay, it's not just about the speed at the top of the bases, which I think is important, and that puts a different kind of stress on the pitcher than, you know, the stress of having to pitch to Kyle Schwarber right off the bat. Traffic on the bases early in the game puts a lot of stress on the pitcher, too. But when the Phillies couldn't score runs in the last two games of the NLCS, the guy that was on base all the time that got stranded, and I've said this before, was Brandon Marsh. And what happened was Brandon Marsh had two guys behind him when he was on base that just could not put the ball in play. And, you know, because he's got Johan Rojas, who just did nothing.
Right.
And then he's got Kyle Schwarber, who doesn't put the ball in play enough either. I don't have anything against Kyle Schwarber, and I love home runs. But, you know, you got to put the ball in play more.
Well, you've been steadfast on this. Look, we're gonna know in about a month. Ken, give me an answer. Who or what took a leap?
Well, it's the leap that founded the United States of America, the founding fathers signing the Declaration.
Wow. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. All right, Jonesy said he's not much of a historian. Jonesy, I forget which one said it, but there was a famous quote said by one of the founding fathers, Declaration of Independence is signed, and there was a statement made about the risk they were taking. Do you know that sentence?
See, normally, I'll let you in on a little secret here. This is when Joe Wechter used to get in my ear, and he would give me the answer in my headphone, and then I would appear to be a lot smarter than I am.
All right, let's see if Richie knows it. Richie?
No, I don't.
We all must, it's something like we all must stand together, excuse me, we all must hang together, or we will surely hang apart. Meaning,
I get it.
Stick together, and we can beat the British. But if we don't stick together, they're going to capture us, and they're going to kill us, and they're going to hang us.
Live together, die alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good line right there. All right, let's talk to Joe. Joe, good morning, buddy. Joseph.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, buddy. What's going on, my man? You're on WIP.
Oh, man, finally. Took a little while, but it was worth the wait. Listen, I got something for you for the leap. To answer your question on the leap, and I'm hoping nobody said it. I've been in and out of work, so I haven't had a chance to.
You got it. Spit it out. What do you got?
I got Michael Jordan's 1987 dunk from the free throw line.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great one too. A leap. Now, foot was on the line, very much on the line,
very much past.
Much of it was past the line. Part of it was on the line. He did get such. Why did he get credit for jumping from behind the line when he clearly didn't jump from, you know, behind the line? Why did he get that credit?
It was that one moment that could have gone either way.
He was close enough.
Because the poster that hung up in everyone's college dorm showed him in the air and not before he took
off.
Exactly.
It looks
awesome.
Majestic in the picture. Well, not
it didn't
anymore.
Look as
it
awesome.
Was. It was
in the
awesome.
Moment.
I didn't think it was. Come on. At the time, you honestly thought that was awesome?
Oh,
At the time, you could see that he stepped past the foul line.
But I think only he and Doc had done something near that up until that point, I think.
I still remember being unimpressed, thinking Dominique Wilkins was robbed.
Well, he was robbed. Dominique was robbed. That's exactly right. 215-592-9494. Jonesy in studio with us. All right, Jonesy, let's get to the Carter Hart thing. Organization, obviously, you know, there's been a statement or two put out, but this is the first time we've talked to you here on WIP since let's call it the latest. What is the organization's position regarding Carter Hart?
Yeah, it's in the courts. So we'll just wait and see how it all plays out. It's obviously an extremely serious matter. But we don't really have a lot of that we can say right now. So that's about all I'll say on it.
Let me just ask you a few more here, and if you can't answer, you can't answer. Is the organization in touch with Carter Hart these days? He's on his own.
Yep.
And true or false, because I heard true, the organization removed his jerseys from the arena.
Not going to comment on that.
Okay. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the year, correct?
He is.
And so, and this court date is, I believe, supposed to be after the season.
Yeah, I don't know.
So a pending situation, and you, the organization, await the outcome of what happens in Canada legally, and then the organization will make a decision on how to proceed with his future?
Yeah.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to John. He's calling from Manayunk right now. Good morning, John.
What's up, dudes? First and foremost, Jonesy, I've just been wanting to say this. I've been waiting for you to be on the show for a long time. You know, it was tough to watch Flyers for a couple of years there. I've been watching my entire lifetime. And since you got on board, man, they've been skating so hard, and they've been such a joy. And I think every real Flyers fan knows, like, this is a good journey here coming up here. Hey, thank you for coming in there and shaking it up.
I appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, we all get it. We all definitely get it. And, yeah. So, first of all, about the Phil's little stuff, I'm so sick of hearing about the Schwarber thing with the, like, not you guys talking about it, but these people that just, like, can't get over it. It's like, dude, like, did you not see how many times he came in and just, it was 1-0 over? Like, it's unconventional. We get it.
John, you know, the theory is 1-0 could be 2-0 if he batted second or fifth or fourth instead of first. Like, it's not just, it's 1-0 that's good. A lot of people say, well, that could be 2-0 if he batted behind a better hitter than the 9-hole hitter.
I think the most egregious issue with it is a couple times last year, Turner would get like should have been a triple, but it was only a double, or it ended up only being a single instead of a double because Schwarber couldn't make it across the bag. Like, that's the time I think it bites you. But at the end of the day, I think there's this weird psychological thing with some of these pitchers that your first pitch of the game better be on point, because it's been 1-0 pretty often. So I'm looking forward to the season more than anything. Last year was just, I still can't talk about it, but listen, I'm so pumped. But listen, as far as the Leaf goes, how's nobody said Mike Powell yet? Literally the greatest world record leap ever, still unbroken from 91.
I've been
waiting. I don't know what was going on there, but yeah, Jeepers Creepers, great show. I love you guys. Thanks, John.
Good stuff there. So, Jonesy, the call there that John, the way he started with his excitement about the Flyers.
Right.
Are you sensing that the town is buying back in more? I mean, can you see that?
It's coming. There's no doubt about that. The building was electric last Saturday against the Rangers. Yep. Had a lot of, you know, old school elements to that game. A great fight with Delorier doing his part. Team played with a lot of effort. Lost eventually that game 2-1, but it was the type of performance that brings people back, even in a loss, which is not easy to do. So I do think there's a great buzz that started to be created. We're not there yet. Like, we still have a long way to go, but people are starting to talk hockey again. And when I travel and when I'm out in public, I'm talking a lot more about the Flyers than I was even when I was doing this job. So I do feel it. The fans that I'm talking to seem enthused about it. And that's what we want to do. I mean, it's hockey. We want to make sure that we're kind of getting a little piece of what, you know, was a part of this city back to the city, and allowing them to enjoy some Flyers hockey when they're getting away from all the other sports.
How much can you actually take a chance to enjoy what you're doing and smell the roses? I mean, you've got so much on your table right now.
There's a lot on your mind all the time, John. There's no question about that, but it's fun. I mean, it's a blast. I wouldn't do this if it wasn't fun, if there wasn't a level of enjoyment that comes with it. At this time in my life, it's not something that I need to do. So I'm happy to be doing this. And it's a lot of fun to work with good quality people. That makes it all the better.
Speaking of which, John Tortorella, how is he different than we'd expect?
Well, I knew him differently before I took the job, because we had worked together in television. So I knew there was a whole other side to him that the public, you know, isn't allowed in on. He does show it sometimes now, which I'm happy about. People start to get the feel of just how important other things in his life are, including animals. I think he just does a great job of being direct and straight up with his players. I think the guys get it. I think we have players that understand it, that are important to the process that we're doing here, but also get what the coach is doing. And that's important. But he can go off at any time. I mean, there's always that element, but which is kind of nice too. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. So he is an awesome coach. And for us in hockey in this city, it's important that the coach fits the city.
Yeah.
And he does all of that.
And that the players fit the coach. And it's just an amazing job that you've been able to do, identifying the players that fit the system, that fit the coach, that fit the city. It just feels like you're hitting at a high rate.
It's a tribute to the players, too. Like Garnet Hathaway is a great example. That's a player that we targeted in the offseason, kind of an under-the-radar type pickup. And he does everything that we expected him to do and does it in a way that our fans appreciate what he's doing. So, and the players on the team love what he's doing. So those type of subtle pickups do matter as far as bringing a team together and getting players in some cases to overachieve.
All right, let's talk to Matt. He's calling from Bryn Mawr right now. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Doing great, Matt.
Wonderful, my man. It's leap day, you know? I don't know what to make of it, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it feels strange.
It does.
You know? Strange feeling.
Magical day.
Magical day.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I heard you guys were calling looking for leap day callers. What questions did you ask?
Are you a leap person?
You're one of them?
Yeah, I'm one of them.
You're a leaper. So is there a term?
Yeah.
Not other than leaper that we use for this.
Leap babies. I hear leap babies. Leap
I've heard that too, yeah.
That's good. All right, so how old are you today, Matt?
Today's my 10th birthday.
Wow. Good for you, man.
Big one. That's amazing.
It's a big one.
Wow.
Found 44.
Finally made double digits. Congrats, man.
44 more years you can drink. Wow. So, so do you normally celebrate on February 28th or March 1st if it's not a leap day?
It's honestly one of the toughest questions. Two good arguments because you're born in February, so 28th is still your birthday month.
Mm-hmm.
March 1st isn't, but then March 1st would be the day after the 28th, and that's when I was born, so.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is tough.
It depended where it fell on the weekend or not.
Oh, I like that. You can go either way. You should just take both, man.
That factor.
Matt, how many times in your life have people actually used your birthday as an excuse for having forgotten your birthday? You know, like, oh yeah, totally, I knew it was coming, but then they used the second choice, you know, like we were just talking about. You can go February or March
because other people have to know
do
too.
They always opt for March because it's more likely that they forgot.
I think it's 50-50.
That's surprising.
Jason Early always says it has to be February 28th, so that's what I usually go by.
Wow. Let me ask you this one. When you go to a bar and you hand them your ID, does the bouncer look at it and be like, do they comment on your birthday when someone sees your date?
It looks weird.
It has to look
weird. But sometimes they just look at the year when you're a bartender. True. Like when I used to wait tables, I would just be like, all right, is their year good and care about the rest?
Matt, a doctor's office, a bouncer, do you get commented on when someone sees your birth date?
It's actually one way to tell the difference. There's another Matthew Huddlemeyer in the area, so that's the only way. And we went to the same doctor before when I was younger.
Oh my God,
they had to use the birthday.
Wow,
it's not like a common name or anything. Well, it's not like Matt Smith or whatever.
All right, Matt, here's the deal. We appreciate you calling in as we were looking for a leap baby. You can also win today Santana tickets and Counting Crow tickets. Give me an answer. Who or what took a leap?
What was the question?
Who or what took a leap? You can win tickets. What do you got here? Like Jonesy took a leap. He went from WIP
you can't
to
call
being
him a leap.
Flyer.
That is a leap.
That's
right
a leap.
There.
Yeah. All right, Matt, you got no answer?
James Harden's leaping around.
All right, fair enough. He does. Yeah. I thought Evel Knievel would have been a better answer.
Oh, man.
Waiting all show for it.
Yeah,
What was that thing? The Canyon? What was that thing called?
Yeah.
The Grand Canyon. No, not the Grand Canyon.
No, he didn't leap the Grand
Canyon. It was
the.
I think he did.
Well, maybe it was at the.
He might have been a part, but not the whole.
It was the Snake River.
No, the guy walked across the Grand Canyon, the Willenda guy.
No, but maybe he leaped a portion of it. I mean,
he might have leaped a small portion.
Whatever the Snake River is, that's what I think Evel Knievel on his bike leaped over.
The Snake River is definitely in Idaho at some point.
Okay, well, look.
But it probably runs through a lot of those states.
We're beyond my scope here. All right.
I tubed on the Snake River. I believe it was in Idaho.
Okay. Yes. Right. In Boise.
How was tubing?
Near Boise, yes. That was one of those, it was more about the
you never
cooler
did the,
than the tubing. And burning because of falling asleep because of the cooler.
As someone who
has a memory.
So he apparently he never jumped the Grand Canyon. Okay. Evel Knievel.
Whatever the Snake River thing is, that's what I think he did. All right, Jonesy, let's talk about this. This goes back about 2 months ago. This Cutter Gauthier.
Yeah, yeah.
So the organization seemed pretty unhappy with him. Is that a fair statement?
I think we wanted him here.
Of course
he
did.
He just didn't want to be here.
Hence you were unhappy with him, right?
So, yeah, well, you'd like to be able to convince the player, and based upon our play and the direction of the organization, we thought he would change his mind, but he never did, so we move on.
Did you feel slighted?
No, it's kind of weird because you inherit something, right?
Yep.
So it's not like you know the person, so I would have loved to have the opportunity to know the kid. That's all that I was asking, but that wasn't going to happen, so we had to kind of adjust on the fly and make a decision in a kind of a difficult situation because you don't have a lot of leverage. The college kids can basically say no to anybody and eventually become a free agent. So had we decided to stay stubborn and keep them for all 4 years, then the only compensation you get is a second round pick. So that wasn't something that we were, would have won in.
You wanted to make a trade to get value back.
We wanted to, do the best we could under adverse circumstances. So it wasn't an ideal situation, but every individual has the right to choose where they want to go. So we could, be angry, but it's not going to do anything. That's kind of I would say frustrated was probably a better word.
Got it. Understood. Jonesy, so here's something I've been not angry about, but frustrated about for 10 plus years. And you referenced fighting in hockey recently. And I'm normally, just screaming about it without talking to someone who can do something about it. So let me talk to you.
Sure.
So Flyers obviously have a vote. Every organization has a vote when, rules are put together. I want fighting back in hockey. I want fighting. I am telling you directly, I will watch more hockey if there's more fighting. I can't be any more simple than that.
Yeah, you're not alone.
So
there's a lot of people that feel that way. But there is, extreme examples of people that don't want it at all. So I think the league has done a really good job of walking that fine line. I think there's still, obviously a number of fans that enjoy it. Just look at how everybody stood up in the crowd, which has always been the way it's been. I mean, there is no question that there's an entertainment value to it. But there has been some serious injuries with it through the past as well. So I think I don't think it's going to become more. I think that if anything, it was heading in the direction of almost going away. So I'm glad that there's some element of it because I do appreciate how difficult that job is for the players that are doing it. But I also get that there's a lot of fans like yourself that enjoy it. So I think we're threading the needle with it right now. Personally, I'm okay with the balance that is in place right now. And I'm glad that there's still some emotion that is involved, and I don't like the stage fights as much. I understand why they want those to go away, but there is something to be said about a new tough guy being given the opportunity to fight an older tough guy like we saw in the Rangers-Flyers game, which, that tradition has gone on for a long time, and I do kind of get a kick out of that part of it.
I might have texted Jonesy at that exact moment, and I said, I'm impressed with both of them.
Yeah, they were.
That's fair.
It was
that's a
great fight.
It was awesome. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of veteran tough guys that, when asked by a new up-and-comer, that'll say, no, you got to earn it, kid. You go fight another, 50 preliminary matches before you meet the champ.
Like boxing.
But it's like
incredible.
DeLaurier's game for anything, and he put on a great show.
That's great. More with Jonesy. He's in studio with us hanging out. We'll feel